and griefs to bear. Oh, what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit, and oh, what needless pain we bear. It's all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptation? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Just take it through the Lord in prayer. Oh, can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Just take it to the Lord in prayer. Oh, are we weak and still our refuge, just take it to the Lord in prayer. Oh, do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Just take it to the Lord in prayer. In His arms He'll take and shield thee, and thou wilt find a solace there.
Thankful for grace tonight.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. It's good to be in church. Oh, it's amazing grace. Oh, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Oh, I once was and it was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace all my fears relieved. Oh, how precious did that this way. Oh, praise God, praise God, oh, praise God, praise God, oh, praise God, praise God, praise God, oh, praise God, praise God, praise God.
Come and dine tonight. Amen. This is 43 in your hymn book if you don't know it.
Jesus has a table where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people, come and dine. Oh, with his manna he doth feed. He supplies our every need. Oh, 'tis sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Oh, come and calleth, come and dine. Oh, you may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude, turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine. The disciples came to land, thus obeying Christ. Christ's command, for the Master called unto them, come and dine. There they found their heart's desire, bread and fish upon the fire. Thus he satisfies the hunger every time. Oh, come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine.
Why don't you greet one another this evening? Church. Thankful that we have a place that we can come and dine. Amen. Well, I have a testimony and a prayer request all in one, so we'll start with that. So 2 weeks ago this evening, we had prayer for 10-month-old Elliot. That's Brother Joel Harenbasek's cousin, and he had officially been put on the liver transplant list. How long was he on the list, sister? Do you know? Just the 2 weeks? As far as you know? Okay. So today, Brother Joel's mom has updated Sister Christy, and she said, up the prayers. Elliot is having the liver transplant today. So it's a real blessing that he got the liver transplant this quickly, but we just want to pray that his recovery goes well and that guide the doctors and nurses' hands and all that is done with that situation. I'll be looking forward to another testimony. Please pray for Sister Mary Buckley. She's diagnosed with a tumor on her spine. And Brother Daniel Cooley asks that we pray for my boss at work. Ask our church to please pray that his marriage be restored as he and his wife are separated. The reason I get emotional, I've had a couple of people at work ask me to put in a prayer request. And, you know, they see that life that Brother Daniel lives in front of them. And that's a desperate situation when your marriage is on the rocks like that. And, you know, at least they're asking for help from the right person. So thankful for that. Please remember my wife, Sister April, in prayer. She's having some pretty extreme ear pain. So just want to remember that. If you have an unspoken prayer request, bring that known to the Lord with an uplifted hand. We sure believe that he can take care of that. Brother Stephen, would you come and lead us to the Lord in prayer over these prayer requests? Want to remember Brother Nathan as well in the service tonight. I believe he's preaching down at Brother Danny Steeman's church in Sarasota. So keep him in prayer as well. God bless you.
God bless you, church. Let's go to the Lord. Heavenly Father, it's an honor and a privilege to be in your house tonight, gathered with our fellow believers, Lord, and you've given us a space of time this evening to come and meet with you, and we just want to invite your presence here to be with us. Lord, as you have the word opened, we just pray that that word would penetrate down into our hearts and reveal things that we have need of, Lord. Now for these prayer requests, Lord, we know that you've asked us to come and bring them with confidence and boldness before your throne, Lord. And the different prayer requests, Lord, I can't remember them all, but I do pray for Brother Daniel's boss. He might be successful in many things, Lord, but he's realizing what the most important things are, and I just pray that you come and restore his marriage. And Lord, for the different ones that are sick and needy, Lord, we just pray that you would come and make your healing known to the different believers and the different people that are reaching out to you. And also for Brother Nathan, we just pray you be with him as he's ministering down in Florida, trying to be a blessing, Lord, in this age when so many people are against ministers and Christians even, Lord, we're just thankful for a godly pastor that go down and give of himself to help the people. We just pray that you'd be in it all and you'd bless and help down there. Thank you so much, Lord. We're so privileged to be Christians. I don't know where we would go if we didn't have you, Lord. We love you, and we just want to be open to whatever you'd have for this service. And we pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. If the brothers would please come at this time. This is 373 in your hymn book. You're thankful you've been set free tonight, that you have a great emancipator who has set us, loosed us from the chains of sin. Amen.
Once my heart and soul were fettered, oh, by those binding chains of sin, oh, but world, the
that your desire tonight?
Oh, yes, it's Jesus I really want to see. Oh, yes, it's Jesus I really want to see. The more
that's your desire. God bless you. Let's stand this evening as we ask Brother Layton to prepare to come. Let's sing this little chorus.
I will pray.
Yes.
Thought several times leading up to tonight, I was thinking, well, let's see, we've had a lot of good preaching going on the last few weeks, and Sunday morning we had Brother Hoover, and Sunday night we had Brother Eamon, and tonight, well, I'm here. Well, I'd like to say they saved the best to last. I don't know about that, so I'll just say he saved the oldest to last. So, but that's all right. You know, we have to do it the way the Lord wants it done.
Amen.
All right, musicians, I'm sorry. Thank you very much. If I have it up there, I don't like holding it, but if it's up there, I can't see. And if it's here, my old arms get tired of, my elbows get stiff. So, you know what? The devil's a liar. We'll just go ahead anyway. If you want to turn in your Bibles, we'll go right straight to the Word. I want to go read from Joshua, the 24th chapter, and the 14th and 15th verses. Brother Buckles, I have this song for you. I've got a copy of it out in the car, so before you leave tonight, make sure Brenda or I won't get it to you. Joshua 24, 14 and 15. And just before we read, let's bow our heads, please. And Father God, as we come, Lord, we've fought the demons and fought the spirits over this little simple message, not knowing why, not knowing who would be here or who wouldn't or who would need it or what. It's just a little something you put on my heart, Lord, and I've tried to get away from it several times, but it just keeps coming back and coming back. So, Lord, we're here tonight to speak to the purchase, your children, which you purchased with your life and your blood. And Father, we're mindful of that they're yours. Father, they're not mine, they're yours, but you've given me the privilege to be able to speak to them about you for just a little while tonight. So, Lord, I give you the praise and glory for it. And as we talk, Lord, may you receive that praise and glory, and may you come, may you use me as you would, and may you take preeminence in the service. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. All right, Joshua reads like this. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. May you please be seated. I want to speak a little subject tonight. Here a couple of months ago, I don't even remember what Brother Nathan was preaching on, and he mentioned something about your choice or something that you're supposed to choose, and it struck me while I was sitting up here, and I grabbed my paper and I wrote down, your choice, you choose. So that's the subject tonight, just a simple evangelistic sermon. Those of you that have heard me preach before, you know I don't claim to be a deep preacher. I don't claim to be ignorant of the message or the word, but at the same time, I don't claim to be one of these fellas that can go in here and dig way down and dig out all these hidden nuggets and so forth. But I'm glad we have those that God gave that ability. But for me, I'm just a simple fellow, and I just preach a simple message. So I hope that it will bless you. I hope it'll strengthen you. I hope it'll help you. And if it, and as I say so many times, friends, if it doesn't help but just one of you, it's well worth it. That's all it's about. I've traveled a lot. Well, for me, it's a lot. It may not be for some of you, but and every place I go, all I ask of the Lord is, may I be able to help at least one person. It's not about the money. It's not about the fame. It's not about the popularity. It's about preaching the gospel in spirit and in truth, helping God's children. And if there's one that is lost that could come to the Lord, praise God. If there's one that's backslid that returns, may he get the praise. If there's somebody encouraged that's been discouraged, that's what it's about. If it's strengthening the others, then praise the Lord and may he get all the glory for it. But tonight, we're going to talk to you a little bit about your choice. So you choose it. We think about it, you go back, let's just start in Genesis. God made Adam and Eve. Put them in the garden and told them what they could and couldn't do. I've always been amazed that they only had one thing to do. Do not eat of that tree. That's all. Yet Eve had a choice when the old serpent came around and started talking to her, and she had a choice, listen to him or not listen to him. When he began to expound upon the word and he brought the word to her, and then he twisted it just a little bit, she had a choice. She could have stayed with the original word, or she could follow after what he had to say. She made the wrong choice. And because of that, we all know what's happened, as Brother Branham's explained it so much and so often to us. She made the choice to go with that lust for knowledge. And because of that, it brought every sickness and every death and everything that's going on, even all the way until today, everything that has happened. Where did it start? Back in the Garden of Eden with the choice that Eve made. Then she had a couple of sons, and she said she got them both from God. And Brother Bram said, that's right. All life comes from God. But the one son had a choice. And he chose the wrong way to go. God had set down how to come out by revelation, have come up and bring an offering and build an altar and make an offering unto me. And Cain couldn't stand the idea of having to bring a bloody offering. He had to go out and make something real pretty, just like they do today. They don't want to have to come in and accept the bloody offering of Jesus Christ and change their life around. People want to, what do they want to do? Oh, they want to go to what I like to call one of these feel, come as you are, do as you want, put your money in the offering plate, feel good churches. But I want to go to a place where they preach the gospel. I want to go to a place where, as I've said to the pastor, I said, boy, you sure stepped on my toes tonight, but I'm sure glad you did. See, that's what I want. Somebody that will get up and if they have to, skin me. Take me right to task for things. They don't have to know what I'm doing or anything else. And the pastor don't know what I'm thinking or what trials or what tests I've been through or where I've failed or where I've not. But God knows all about it. So he can lead the pastor or Brother Bird or Brother Hoover or Brother Eamon to come along and say something that can step on my toes as well as yours. But that's what we want. I don't want them to just get up and preach some feel-good gospel. Oh, brothers and sisters, God loves you. It's all right. You go ahead and do what you want. Oh, but here's the offering plate, by the way. That's how we got this $2 million church, and I've got those $5 million airplanes, and that's how I've got those fleet of cars out there. So you just go right ahead and live what you want to. I don't want that. I want the gospel in spirit and in truth and in power and demonstration preached to me. But Cain didn't want that. He made a choice. He was going to bring pretty little flowers and fruits and put them on his altar. And then when he got rejected, he got mad. He had a choice there. He could have turned around and said, God, I'm sorry. I see what my brother done. I see you accepted his. I'm going to turn my life around and I'm going to do what he done. But he couldn't do it because we all know why. But still, he couldn't do it. But he made his choice. The children of Israel, when Moses went down into Egypt, they had a choice to make. They could either follow Moses or they could stay in Egypt. And they seen the signs and the wonders and the miracles. They seen all the things that God had done through Moses. And still, when it come time to walk out, there was some that really didn't want to go. You see, now wait a minute, Brother Layton. How can you say that? Because on the trip out, they turned around and said, told Moses, we should have stayed back into Egypt, in Egypt with the garlics, you know, and the leeks and so forth. Instead of following you out here, you brought us out here to die. See, they really didn't want to go. They really wanted to stay back there, but because of Moses and God proving who Moses was, they knew that they had to obey the prophet. They knew they had to obey the word. There was none of them that were ignorant of the prophecy that they would go down there for 400 years and then with a mighty hand God would bring them out. They knew that, and they knew that Moses had been proven, so they said, well, I guess we better go along. I guess we better just go with everybody else. We better follow along and just make sure that we get to the other side. But when they got out there and it didn't come to pass the way they thought it was supposed to. See, there it is. Oh, it didn't happen. Oh, I know what Brother Branham said. But you see, Brother Terry, it didn't quite come the way I thought it was going to. So he must be wrong. Oh, no. He's not wrong no more than Moses was wrong. It's when the prophet of God speaks, it's the word of God. It's not a man speaking, it's God speaking. Oh, then they want to sit down and decide, well, now let me see, was that Brother Branham or was that God? Be careful. I find a lot of things in the Bible that it was God speaking and the men didn't go around with everything. They said was, thus saith the Lord and thus saith the Lord and thus saith the Lord and thus saith the Lord. So you better be careful how you try to rightly divide the word of God. You better be praying hard and long and make sure you got the right word. Amen. But the children of Israel followed him. They decided to go ahead and follow Moses out of Egypt. But they had choice after choice after choice through that whole journey. They had a choice and they were mumbling and grumbling the whole way. But their choices ended up costing them their very lives because they ended up wandering through the desert for 40 years around and around and around in a big circle. Why? Because they failed to recognize who Moses really was. They failed to realize that God sent him. They failed to realize that when they looked and seen that pillar of fire hanging up over the camp at night, that that was Almighty God showing them that what the travel that they were in was vindicated by him. They failed to see it when the cloud was in there in the daytime and when it was leading them. They failed to recognize that that was Almighty God showing that I have vindicated this trip. But they got to mumbling and grumbling and complaining. They went over into the promised land. Excuse me. They went over into the promised land and they brought back the fruits and the so forth, the evidence of how great the land was. But they also brought, most of them brought back an evil report. They failed to realize that God that brought them out of Egypt, that God that brought them through the Red Sea, that God that gave them water from the rock, that God that healed all of their diseases, God that gave them food, God that had met every need that they have, they failed to realize that that very same God promised them that land, and that land belonged to them. And all they had to do was believe him, go in and accept it. Go in and take it. They failed to see it. Why? Because they didn't want to follow a man. They wanted it their way. Amen. Oh, when Korah and Dathan and the other 200 princes of the camp rose up, oh, people forget that it wasn't just Korah and Dathan. There was 200 princes that rose up against Moses. And God said, they're not against you, they're against me. But they couldn't see it. And Brother Bam said, why is it? Because they failed to recognize who Moses really was. But they had a choice to make, and they failed to make the right choice. Oh, Balaam come along, and he had a choice to make. Here comes the children of Israel. Most all of us should know the story. And the king wants him to prophesy against the children of Israel. Oh, well, let me go seek God. So he went over and sought God, and God told him, you say what I tell you to say. But he went back, and he was propositioned again. I'll give you more money. Go back and find out again. He comes back in the same answer. He went back again. He come back in the same answer. And still, he opened his mouth to curse the children of Israel, and God wouldn't even let him do it. But he made a choice, and he sold out for money. But God kept his children where he wanted them, going the way he wanted them to. So you see, he had a choice. And over the years, I was thinking about it while I was making some of these notes the other day, and I thought, over the years, I've had many choices myself to make. You know, we come out of Pentecost, so I had to make a choice. Was this message right, or was it wrong? Was that man really Malachi 4, or was he just another preacher? But I had to take it back into the Bible. I had to look at his life. I had to look at the signs and wonders. I had to look at his messages. I had to see that it was absolutely right. And I just made a choice that I would follow the man. And then later I heard him say, follow me as I follow Paul, as he followed Christ. And I knew I was right. I had made the right choice, and so did you. But then we come along, and then not long after you get into it and you move somewhere else and you're following God, and what happens? This little doctrine jumps up. This little doctrine jumps up. This little division jumps up. And this comes up over here. Oh, Brother Branham was Jesus Christ. Okay, I've got to decide on that one. So I had to go back and look and read it and hear what they had to say and study the Word. I see where they get it from. As far as it goes, that's like Brother Branham said, well, that's good, but there's more. I should say Brother Nathan. He said, that's good, but there's more. Right. Oh, that part that they would quote was good, but there was more. Because then when you take that, it falls over here. But let's take the rest of what he said, and let's bring that balance right back up where it goes to. Right. He wasn't the fleshly blood of Jesus Christ, but Jesus Christ dwelled in his prophet and brought the word to us. But I had a decision to make, and I had to make a choice with this or this, and I chose, I believe, the right way. Amen. Oh, then two souls come up, and then polygamy comes up, and then the seven thunder doctrine that came up years back started in the 70s, and Perugia come up, and we have tapes only doctrine, and so many other doctrines that go on. And I like to tell people, last time I was in El Salvador, I think it was the last time, I said, you people think this tape only doctrine is something new? It's not. I said, this was going on when I was in Tucson in 1966. And they were still talking about it then. And if you want to take you back farther than that, let's go back to 1964 on questions and answers. Brother Branham, are you the only one that's supposed to preach? Why do you think they asked him that question? Because there was already those there saying, he's the only one, he's the voice of God, and nobody else has nothing to say. But he said, no. I'd be a poor excuse, and so on. He answered it pretty good, I thought. In fact, let me correct myself. He answered it perfect. Why? Because he was God's mouthpiece to us. He was God's voice to us. But what did he tell us on the church age book? Out from under that messenger of each age, there went others carrying the message. But they had to be careful to say only what the messenger of the age had said. See, there's the balance to it. Sure, listen to tapes. Absolutely listen to tapes. Stay in those tapes. Study those tapes. Get your Bible down. Make sure it's right there. And it is. Make a choice. Who are you going to follow? Some man that wants to stand up and say, oh, I don't think we should have tapes anymore. And I'm not throwing at anybody in particular. I know a bunch of preachers that says that. So don't think, and I'll say it, don't think I'm throwing at Brother Joseph. He is my brother. I pray for him. I love him. I respect him. So I'm not even talking about him tonight. Just get that out of your head. I'm talking about ministers in general. Like one person I've supposed to been preaching for him for years. And the next time I called him, he says, when I want you down here, I'll let you know. I said, well, brother, have I done something to offend you? What, did I say something? Did I preach something wrong? What's going on? Oh, no, don't worry about it. I'll let you know when I want you down. It was probably 5 or 6 years later before I seen him that he finally told me what it was. But the thing was, I already knew what it was. They went over to all tapes. Okay, if that's what you want, if you want all tapes, then bless God, you play all tapes. But don't tell me that I can't preach because you can't prove it in the Bible. See, you have to make a choice. And I made mine to stay with what Brother Branham said. I don't care what any other man says. I don't care. They can't produce one thing to prove it otherwise. No more than they could with polygamy or thunders Two Souls or Perugia or the rest of this stuff. Oh, they've got quotes, but it doesn't run all the way through the Bible. And folks, when it comes down to that, we've got to make a decision. We either stay with the Word or we stay with some man's idea of the Word. I want the Word. So I had to decide. Oh, and there's others come up all over the place. Oh, guess what? Oh, Brother so-and-so, he took Brother Branham's place. I remember I was still a young preacher, and Brenda knows who I'm talking about. I used to preach with this young man, him and I, when we were both young then. Oh, but after, when I come into the message and he couldn't accept it, I think the last time I seen him was in a place where I was, outside of a place where I was raised in, called Lamont, California. It's outside of Bakersfield. And outside there in front of the building, he stood there and told Brenda and I that God had called him to take up where Brother Branham had left off, and he was taking Brother Branham's place. Well, I didn't even have to make a choice on that one. As Brother Collins said, if you could have said a lot of things, and I might have had to give me a pause to think about it, but not that one. There's no eighth messenger. Joshua took Moses' place. No, Joshua took Joshua's place and led the people on over. But Joshua also, what did he do? He pointed the people back to everything that Moses said constantly, 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 constantly. But he stayed with what Moses said. But Joshua could have been some great big gigantic leader of some great big group if he wanted to, but he chose to stay with what God said. He didn't build upon himself. He built upon God's word of what Moses had already brought. So I had to make a decision. These doctrines, are they right? Were they wrong? So I had to go into the Word and find out it. I had to go into the tapes and find out. And I found out the right answer and made the right choice. Oh, but we come on down. Let's go back a little farther than from our day. Let's go back into the days of Jesus Christ. And Judas come up on the scene one day. And Jesus had chosen him. And he knew who he was. But Judas didn't know what was going to happen down the road. But Judas one day made a choice. Oh, he had a choice. You could sell out for money, and you could sell out this one that you've been following, this one that you say you believe, this one that's been doing all these signs and wonders and miracles. You can either stay with him or you can go with us. After all, we're the big church, and we've got all the money, and we've got all of this, and we've got all of that, and we've got so much authority, and this and so on, so on and so forth. All you have to do is we'll set up a time and a place. You tell us where he's at, and we'll come and take him. And he sold out. He also regretted it, but it was too late. But you think about another one. And then here a few years later come the Apostle Paul. Oh, my. There's a man that was what he called himself, the Pharisee of the Pharisees. A man that you couldn't lay a finger on. I don't know if there's any of us alive today that could live the life that Paul lived. That somebody can't lay one finger on you about something, somewhere, somehow, some way. But Paul was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. But he was walking down the road. We all know the story of Paul and how he was persecuting the church. And then one day this pillar of fire, this same one that you see in this picture over here, he came down and he appeared upon the road to Damascus and smote Paul down. He fell. He said, "Who art thou, Lord?" Here's a Jew, a Pharisee of Pharisees, calling this pillar of fire Lord. What did he know that people today don't know? He recognized it. And when he told him who he was, it so confounded Paul, you might say, that he had to go down into Arabia and spend 3 years or so studying the word until he knew exactly who he was talking to. But Paul made a choice. It reminded me of Agrippa over in Acts when Paul was talking to him there, and Paul had been, after to this ruler and to this ruler and to this ruler, and finally he ended up in front of Agrippa, and he told Agrippa the story. And it always amazes me when Agrippa says, "Paul," think about that. And sitting there listening to all of this story, what everybody else had to say, and then listen to Paul expound upon the word. And then he said, "Paul, almost thou convinces me. Almost you convinced me to be a Christian." He made a choice. I thought of another ruler, and we all have heard of Jairus, or Jairus, however you want to pronounce it, Jairus. I didn't realize till researching a little bit about him. He was a ruler in the synagogue of Capernaum. And I didn't realize that because you have to go back into history to find that one. So here's a ruler in a synagogue. And his daughter is dying. I wonder how much it took for that man being a ruler, a leader in a synagogue, a Jew. Maybe a Pharisee, I don't know. It just says he was a ruler. What did it take for that man to have to come down off, if you excuse me, my country way of saying it, come down off of his high horse and humble himself to the point where he'll go talk to this man, Jesus, that he's heard about? Just think. Here he is. Let's dramatize this a bit. Here's Jairus. He's heard all about Jesus. They knew about him. And his daughter's dying. He knew that he's heard about how Jesus has raised the dead and opened the blind eyes and all sorts of things, cast out devils, and the sick have been healed. He knew it. Right. He had to make a decision, and he made a decision to go see this one called Jesus. He took it upon himself. He had a choice. I can stay here in my temple, and I can be this great ruler. After all, I'm a leader. So, or I can maybe ruin my reputation by going on over here and believing this young preacher that's going around the countryside, and that people are calling the Messiah. But he made a decision because he loved his daughter so much, he was going to go see this one called Jesus. He made a choice. So go help, go to Jesus for help, or ruin your reputation. After all, what would the other people in the synagogue think of him? What? Trevor, you mean to tell me you went and heard that prophet? That one they call a prophet? You mean to tell me you actually left your church and you went to follow this man that they claim is a prophet of the age? Man, don't you know you're getting off into deep water there? You're liable to drown, buddy. You better watch yourself. What do you mean you're going to follow a man? But that was Jairus. I don't know what the people said. If anything, maybe he just snuck out the side door. But he went and found Jesus. And where did he find him at? He had just come back from casting out a legion of devils. And he was there, and the people are just mobbing around him. But somehow Jairus got up close to him. And he talked to him. And they're on their way then through to Jairus' house to get his daughter healed. Think about it. You got this mob of people. 2,000, 1,000, whatever it is, all around him. And yet somehow he got to him. Right. Kind of reminded me of my father-in-law down in Arkansas. When he gave his heart to the Lord, most people couldn't get in the prayer line once, let alone twice. But Brother Mayfield, somehow, when Brother Branham prayed for him, and he went back after he'd give his heart to the Lord, he went back in and he asked him to pray for him. Then he'd go all the way, and Brother Branham prayed for him. He went out, he took his cigarettes out of his pocket, threw them under the car, went back in and got in line again. And got to Brother Branham, and Brother Branham stopped the prayer line and said, "What can I do for you, brother?" He said, "I want you to pray for me that I'll go all the way." He said, "I want to thank you." And Brother Branham turned to the congregation and said, "Isn't that something?" He said, "Wasn't there 10 lepers and one returned to give thanks?" I don't know how I got on that one. But here we are in this crowd of people, and Jairus somehow got through the crowd to Jesus and told him what he needed. But on the way, he's being pushed and touched and shuffled around. He's got this mob of people around him. And I can just see the disciples going down around him and said, "Make way for the master. Would you step aside, please, sir? The master has an appointment over here. He needs to get there. Could you mind moving over, please? Would you please make a hole?" As we'd say in the Navy, when you're going down through the ship and you're in a hurry and you got to get in, make a hole. That means everybody step aside so you can get through. You're on a mission. And that's the way it was with him. Come on, step aside, please. The master's got to get there. The master's got a sick person to go pray for. But yet here's 1,000 or 2 people and they're sick. They want him too. And I can just imagine, here he is. Can you see Jesus? Just put it in your mind. He's walking through this crowd and he reached over and prays for this one. He reached over and prays for this one. He cast this devil out over here and he prays for this one. And here's Jairus. He just seen chewing nails and say, "Lord, would you hurry up? My daughter's dying. Lord, you got to get there." Maybe he's not saying it, but I can just imagine Jairus thinking that. "Lord, come on. Can't you just speed it up a little bit? I mean, Lord, we got to get there. She's liable to die before we make it, Lord. Come on." And then all of a sudden he stops. Wonder what Jairus thought when he stopped. And he looks around. I can see him. He's just looking. And he said, "Who touched me?" Oh, and Peter and the disciples rebuked him, Brother Branham called it. "Oh, Lord, you know, come on. You know you got 1,000 people standing right here or 2,000 people standing around you. You know they're pushing and pulling and tugging." He said, "What's the matter with you? What's the matter with you, Lord? Don't you know you're getting touched all the time? People are shoving you this way and this way, and we're having to push them back. And Lord, what do you mean? Who touched me?" He said, "Oh, but I felt virtue go out from me." It was a different touch. Somehow this little woman had got through that crowd. Oh, my. Maybe we should push that hard to get to Jesus. Maybe we should be a Jairus. Maybe we should be the woman with the blood issue. Maybe we should get desperate. As I told a young man here not long ago, I said, "Have you got the Holy Ghost yet?" And he said, "Nope." I said, "Why?" "I don't know." I said, "Well, then maybe you need to get desperate." I said, "Brother Branham said, if you get desperate, you'll get it. But you've got to get desperate." I said, just like the man that the feller took out. Brother Branham told the story. The man, he took him, what, out into that pig waller and said, "You'll find him right here." See, the other feller, what, he told the story, went up on the side of the hill in the corn patch or whatever it was, or the sticker briar patch or whatever, knelt down and said, "Lord, I need the Holy Ghost. I want the Holy Ghost, and I got to have it. And if you don't give it to me, you're going to find my bones here when you come back." See, get desperate before God, people. Young people, get desperate before God. If you know you're sitting here tonight and you don't have the Holy Ghost, then get desperate before God. And I don't care if you're young or old. Get desperate before God. You want the Holy Ghost? Then get desperate before God and beg him for it and pray, cry and plead and scream and holler. Whatever it takes until you get everything out of you and that peace of all peace comes into your heart and you know he's in there. Until then, you can read all the books you want and listen to all the tapes you want. Go to church all that you want. Have a cross in your car, a sign on the front bumper, pictures in your house, and it don't do you one bit of good. You can let your hair grow till it hits the floor, but it ain't going to save you. You can dress as men and act as men and talk and walk as men, but without the Holy Ghost, it ain't going to save you. You've got to make the right decision for God. Oh, but here's Jairus. Then here's God. I mean, here's the Lord Jesus stopping. I can just imagine Jairus said, "Oh, no, not again. What is this? He's going to pray for somebody else, and my daughter's laying up there dying." Think about it. Here he wants the Lord Jesus to come to his house so bad. He wants his daughter healed so bad that he would have given up his very reputation and went to that one called Jesus, that heretic, that one that's going to overthrow the government, that one that they say is God, that one that they say is the Messiah. Uh-huh. And you're going to follow something like that. And yet he did put laid all of that on the line because he loved his daughter so much. Right. And here we are. Now all of a sudden Jesus stops again. And of course he healed the woman was healed. But he had to heal him. He had to do it. He was jostled around and pushed and shoved and maybe touched 500 times before he got 500 feet. But only one touched him in a way that they were healed. Right. He had to reach out and do the healing. Amen. See, but this one was healed when she touched him. A difference. When you really get to the point that you're desperate for something and you reach out and touch the Lord, you'll get what you want.
Amen.
Think about it. Oh, yeah, he can call you. He can predestinate you. He can do everything he's supposed to do. And then you've got to make your choice. Yeah.
Right.
That woman made her choice. I'm going to get to him somehow. Jairus made his choice. I'm going to get to him somehow. Paul made his choice. I believe who he is. I'm going to preach that gospel no matter what. If it cost me my life, and it did. The disciples did the same thing. The 3,000 on the day of Pentecost all made their choice. Oh, but here he is standing there, and he says, I perceive the strength went out of me. He said, the woman was healed. Oh, here we are. And then about that time, here come a runner from his house, somebody bearing bad news. Don't you know many times when you get desperate, when you're really seeking God, when you're really trying to get in there, here comes somebody knocking on the door. Maybe it's your wife. Maybe it's your husband, maybe it's your children, maybe it's your neighbor. And most of the time, you know, you're right in the middle of prayer and you're trying to pray, and what happens? Need to talk to you. Was it worth opening the door to listen to? I don't know. Only you can decide that. But here Jairus is waiting on Jesus. He stopped again. Come on, Lord. Can't you just keep walking? I've got to get to my daughter. You've got to get to her. How many times are you going to stop and heal all these people? My daughter's going to die. But he had to stop. You see, the Father knows exactly what's going on. Sure he does. But word came to Jesus. There come a runner bearing bad news. Don't trouble the master anymore. Your daughter's dead. Forget about this Jesus you were. See, he didn't come when you called him. That's what so many of them say. Well, you know, I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. God didn't answer me. I heard a preacher say almost that very thing this morning. Remember, Brother Bill? I said, how you doing, brother? He says, oh, I guess all right. I've been talking to the Lord, but he's not answering me yet. I said, not as isn't he still Hebrews 13:8? He didn't answer that one. He said, well, you know, he just hadn't answered me. I said, you know, sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's no, and sometimes it's wait a while, brother. I said, but he said he would answer. Bill said, I know the number. Yes, he's Hebrews 13:8.
Amen.
Anyway, he's a good brother. He's not a message believer, but he's a good brother. How blessed we are to know what we know.
Amen.
Don't bother the master anymore, Jairus. Come on, let's go home. Forget about it. She's dead. You called him and he didn't come. You called him and he didn't answer. You called him and he wouldn't even talk to you. Oh, I've had him do that to me. Wait a while, son. Lord, have I done something wrong? What did I do? If I did, I'll make it right. What is it? Speak to me. Hello, desk. Hey, desk, can you answer me? I preached to some churches like that in my day. I was trying to be serious, but it is kind of funny. Instead of preach for an hour and don't get one amen, you wonder, anybody live out there? They're turned sideways in their seat and they're looking down at the seat, you know, and you hear some of them going, clip, clip, clip. Really?
Yeah.
Don't let me hear you clipping your nails in church. I might have to text Brother Hoover. But I'm serious. How can you say I've got the Holy Ghost? Jesus Christ lives in me, and somebody's up preaching their heart out harder than I am tonight. And they just sit there.
That's right.
Yep. I guess that was a good service. That was all right, Isaiah. It was okay. Yeah, the preacher did okay. Really? Well, if they're saying that about me, they're probably right. But the whole point is, where's Jesus?
Come on.
Where were you before church?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. What were you doing before you came here tonight? Did you come expecting? Did you pray before you got here? Did you pray after you got here? Have you been praying for the preacher while he's been up here? I know one person that has. You see, it's important on what you do. You have to make the right choices too.
Right.
Jairus made the right choice. He just didn't know how it was going to turn out. And when all hope was gone. She's dead, Jairus. Quit bothering the man. Come on, let's go home and let's get her ready to be buried. All hope is gone. Mm-hmm. But then Jesus turned around and said, Jairus, would you like to? Jerry, don't worry about it. It's okay.
Oh my.
Sure.
Oh, hallelujah.
That's right. Anthony, quit worrying about it.
Right.
It's okay. Tina, give it to him.
Amen. All right.
Amen.
Listen.
Come on. Go ahead, bro. Come on,
at Calvary. I'm trying to think of how to say this. At Calvary, Jesus defeated Satan. If you let me say it my way, he broke his back.
Right?
That devil ain't good for nothing except going to hell. He broke his back. He can't do a thing without calling out to the Father first. He can't touch you. He can't even give you a headache without going to the Father. He can't let you stub your toe. I'm so smart, I was leaning over, trying to get this out of the way and trimming my toenails last night, and I went down a little bit too far because I couldn't quite reach it, and I clipped some skin on my toe instead of my toenail. I said, ooh. I said, okay, well, thank you, Lord, anyway. I did. It's okay. Why? Because the devil let that happen. He don't want to do that to me, to discourage me or get me upset or get me aggravated, but I gave it back to him.
That's right.
It's okay, Lord, I don't know what this is about. That's silly, something like that. How in the world could some old guy like me make that dumb mistake? I don't know, but I did it. And Brother Brenda say, well, why didn't you call me to cut him? I said, because you weren't feeling good and you were busy. Well, that don't matter. I said, it does to me. But you see, Satan's back was broken, people.
Amen.
So if he's broken and he's laying down here, what in the world do you want to get there? Oh, poor devil here. Let me help
you. Oh, there you go.
All right. Now let's go on our way.
Oh,
and you're going to pack him with you?
Come on.
Oh, are you serious? Why would you want to pick up a devil and pack it with you? Throw that thing back on the floor and kick him. Send him back into hell where he came from or where he's going to go. See, but too many people coddle the devil. They don't make the right choices. Oh, but I've prayed so much, Brother Layton. I've prayed and yet it just seems like God don't hear me. What do you mean? When did he become deaf? I heard the prophet say that he wasn't deaf, that he couldn't hear us. I think the word says that. He wasn't deaf. He's not deaf. He can hear you if you just whisper it. Oh, Lord Jesus, I need your help.
Right.
And you know something? You don't even have to do that. What is it? He knows the thoughts and the secret intents of what?
Yeah.
Of your heart.
Yeah.
Oh, sometimes you get down. I had some this afternoon sitting over in the room in the chair. And I'm trying to pray. And I don't know what to say. But I said, Lord, you know what I'm trying to get out. You know what it is.
Amen.
See, he knows. If you don't know how to say it, just say, Lord, you know. You take it. You get it through there. Jairus didn't know what to say either. What's he going to do? Go and slap Jesus upside the head and give him a shove and say, come on, man, let's go. My daughter's dying. I need to hurry up and get there. No. Wait patient. The answer is on its way. Who was it? Who was it that had to wait 21 days? Daniel. Yeah, thank you. I thought it was, but 21 days. Well, Brother Layton, I've waited longer than that. That's okay. Wait another 21 days then. He said the answer's on the way. He said, I'll not leave you nor forsake you. He said, I'll hear and I'll answer your prayers. He said, I am the Lord thy God that healeth all thy diseases. Now tell me which one he won't heal.
Come on.
But we've got to make the same decision that Darius had to make. Do you realize that?
Yes.
All right, let's go. What did he say? He said, be not afraid. There's one. Now what are you afraid of? Perfect love casts out all fear. If you've got fear in your heart, then maybe you need perfect love.
Right.
Now, if that skins your hide, that's just too bad. Get perfect love and you won't fear it.
Right. Right.
Oh, don't trouble the master anymore. Be not afraid. She's dead. Be not afraid.
All right.
Amen. Oh, that was one. What's the second command? Only believe.
Amen.
That's what he said. Be not afraid, Darius, only believe. And then he made a promise. And she will be made whole.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm just letting that sink in. Be not afraid.
Amen.
Friends, be not afraid. Church, be not afraid. Children of God, be not afraid, Christians, only believe. I could phrase it this way, and you'll get your answer. It may not be the way you want it, it may not be when you want it, but you'll get the answer.
Amen.
It might be yes, it might be no, but you'll get an answer.
Amen.
Listen, some years back, I'd been asked to come and start churches and come and pastor churches and more than probably 6-7 different times. That I'd went and talked to Brother Joseph at that time and several times. I said, you know, I need you to pray, help me pray about this because I don't know what to do. I know God sent me here. I know God wants me to stay here. But these people want me to come and this one wants me to come and this one wants me to come. About the third time I went to him, he just stood there and he looked at me and he says, Brother Bill, he said, I know God answers my prayers. He said, but I also know that God answers your prayers. He said, you pray, I'll pray. I thought, wow. Don't take this the wrong way, but I thought, is that the best I could get? There's a lot of truth in that, though. If you're a child of God, he will hear and answer your prayer.
Yes. Amen.
What was it, about 2 months, I think? I kept praying and praying and praying and praying and praying. One day I got up and I walked in the room. I said, well, Brenda, I got my answer. She said, what is it? I said, no answer. She looked at me like I was silly, or maybe worse. She said, what do you mean? I said, listen, God already sent me here. God already told me to stay here. Why am I asking him where else he wants me to go?
All right. Think about it.
He didn't say move out of here. He didn't tell me when he sent me here. He didn't say go and stay 5 years or 10 years and I'll send you somewhere else. He said go and stay. So why am I asking him if I can go here, if I can move here, if I can start this church here, if I can pastor this church, if I can go over here? Now you want to talk about preaching? That's a different story. Because I always come back home. So I said, see, sometimes no answer is an answer. That's my point. I had to make a decision. Do I take what God said the first time, or am I going to keep beating my head against the wall for a different answer? I decide, you know, enough is enough. God, you want me here. That's where I want to be. That's where I'm going to stay.
Right.
End of that. So you see, we all have decisions to make. Darius had to make one. Musicians, come. Please, if you'd come, musicians. So we all have decisions that we have to make. We all have choices that we have to make. This isn't a very long sermon. It's not a very deep sermon. It's just a very simple sermon. It's you find God's perfect will for you, and then you make your decision. Are you going to do that will, or are you not? If you want the Holy Ghost, find out what it takes to get that Holy Ghost, and then make your decision. Am I going to meet God's requirements, or am I not? Just like us preachers, we get an invitation to go somewhere just because you get an invitation. Brother Trevor, I don't think just because you get an invitation, you jump and run. You go and say, Lord, what do you want? Lord, I appreciate the invitation, but is that where you want me to go? Or is it time for me to go there? Maybe it's not. Maybe it's next year he'll go back there. Maybe it's not. Maybe God, like Paul, you're going to go here. He wants you to go here. No, I'm sorry. That was Jonah. I said Paul. Jonah. Jonah and whale, right. He's supposed to go to, he's going to run somewhere else, but God wanted him someplace. So you see, God knows how to do it, but we've got to be ready and willing to make the right choice and do what God wants us to do.
Amen.
Not what we want to do. What does he want to do? It don't matter if you're a preacher. You can be the deacon. You can be the trustee. You can be the song leader. You can be the musicians. You can be the Sunday school teachers. You can be the janitor. You can be the tithe payer and the prayer warrior. But do what God wants you to do when he wants to do it. Find his perfect will for you and do that. You'll stay out of trouble. If you don't, I don't care if you're the sister or the pastor. You one of the sisters, I should say, or the pastor, you're going to get in trouble when you don't obey God.
Amen.
So do what God says. Don't make the wrong choice. If you've got a choice, you choose it and make sure it's the right one. Base it upon the word of God, saints.
Amen.
This church, I've seen it grow from 25 to 200 people in 6.5 years. I've also watched the problems come in, but I've also watched problems go. Sure, when you get more and more people, you're going to bring in more and more problems. But guess what? We've got a God that's bigger than the problem.
Amen.
So quit looking at the problems and look at the solver of the problem, which is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Don't worry about it. If you see something going on you don't like, pray about it.
Amen.
Sure. What else are you supposed to do? I'm going to run to Brother Steve, and I'm going to talk about Brother Lee. And I'm going to run to Brother Terry, and I'm going to talk about Brother Jeremy. See, then I'm going to run to Brother Daryl. I'm going to talk about Isaiah. Well, maybe I can. That's my grandson. So, but you see what I'm getting at? What it is, you pray. If you haven't got enough nerve to go talk to that person face to face, then get on your knees and talk to God face to face and get it settled with him. Then he'll give you enough nerve to go say, brother, sister, you did this or you said this or you acted in this way. And according to the word of God, not according to my opinion. According to the word of God, that was wrong.
Amen.
Make the right choice. See, that's where every one of us have got to do. From the beginning with Adam and Eve and all the way up down to the last person that's a bride of Jesus Christ, we all have to make a choice, and we've all got to be careful to make sure that we make the right choice.
Amen.
Jesus had a choice. Sister Stephanie, go ahead. Jesus had a choice. He went into the Garden of Eden. And he cried out, Father. Father. Listen, this is the man that prayed until his sweat was as great drops of blood. And he was crying out because he knew what he faced. He knew what was coming. And yet he was crying out, Father, if possible, let this cup be taken away from me. Think about it. He didn't want to have to go through that. He did it for you and me. But then he turns right around and he says, but nonetheless, thy will be done and not mine. As Brother Bam said, he willingly went to the cross. He willingly took the stripes. He willingly let them spit in his face. He willingly let them pull out the beard out of his face. They willingly took all those things that they'd done to him. Willingly for you and I, he made a choice for you and I and went to Calvary. He said he had the power to lay his life down and the power to raise it up, and he proved it both times. Amen. What about you? Pass me not, O gentle Savior. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. What about you? Would you bow your heads for just a moment? Father, even yet I don't understand why you want me to preach this little message. But Father, as I said at the beginning, if it was just for one person, then that's fine. Lord, perhaps there is one sitting here that is making a choice right now, even as we pray, that they want to give their life to you. They want to sell out to you. They want to give all the world back to the one it belongs to. And they want to come and give their heart and soul to you and their life. Lord, if there is one, may you draw them tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ. Crying, Savior, oh Savior, hear my humble cry.
Yes, Lord.
And while on others thou art calling, oh, do not pass me by. There was a time when Elijah went before all the people and he said, how long halt you between two opinions? That's my question to some of you tonight. How long halt you between? How long are you going to stop and wonder, should I or shouldn't I? What's my friends going to say? What's my co-workers going to say? What's my parents going to say? Who cares? How long halt you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal or Baal, whichever way you want to pronounce it, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. That must have been hard to stand before the children of Israel and say, how long after all the things you've seen God do? How long are you going to be stopped right there and can't decide, do I go to the right? Do I go to the left? You can't sit on the fence, because somebody's going to knock you off, one side or the other. How long, he asked him, if God's God, the God that you know, what about you? The God that you know, the God that has healed, the God that has done miracles, the God that has saved others, the God that has moved met us in this church time after time after time after time, and not here, but over at the Methodist Church and at the storefront and at the Optimist Club, everywhere we've had to go until he gave us this building, God has met us. He's been faithful, and I believe it's because we stand for the Word of God. We've made a choice. Jesus had to make a choice. You've got to make a choice. How long are you going to sit and say, oh, I don't know which way to go. I don't know if I should or not. Well, what's Brother Layton going to think? What's Brother Hoover going to think? What's my daddy going to think? What's my mama going to think? Who cares what they think? What does Jesus think? That's more important than any preacher, any deacon, any church member, or any friend, or anything else. It's what does Jesus think about you? If he's calling, why don't you answer? I've seen it in this church and in the other buildings we've been in where the Holy Ghost moving in such a powerful way you couldn't hardly do nothing but stand up here and cry. And altar calls being made and people just sit there, as I say, like I like to say it, like a bump on the log. They won't move. And you wonder, what's the matter with them? One day it's going to be the last call. And then what are you going to do when the door's shut? Brother Bram said this on leadership. Just so you know, I haven't forgot to read a quote. What do you look like? Look in the mirror and find out. Look down inside, find out. What are you following? What have we done? You must choose your leader. He's not talking about a man. You must choose your leader. Choose today. You choose life or death. Your choice will determine your eternal destination, what you choose. Remember, Jesus said, follow me. And you're invited tonight to do so, and so do I invite you tonight. Come, follow Jesus, people. And follow him to eternal life. You must come on his terms, not the pastor's terms, not the deacon's terms, not mom and daddy's terms, on the terms of Jesus. When he's calling, what does he say? Repent and be baptized. Repent, what Brother Branham teaches, repent means turn around and go the other way. Lord, I realize I'm a sinner. I realize I've been doing wrong. I realize I need you. I realize I need the Holy Ghost. Lord, here I am. Lord, I'm repenting. Forgive me of all of my sins. I'm going to turn around my life and I'm going to live different from this night forward. And follow him to eternal life, and you must come on his terms. That's right. The word, not the creed, not public opinion, not what anybody else thinks about it, but what God said about it. On uncertain sound, he says, now I want you to notice that when a man hears the voice of God, or a woman, hears the voice of God, personally hears the voice, the word of God. Now you can hear it and say, well, God has come to meet me. Yes, sir. I could sit here and preach until I fell dead in the pulpit 10, 20, 30, 50 years from now, and you'll never hear it until God reveals to you the word. You can sit right there in your seat. You don't have to be by a burning bush. Maybe you're closer than you think. Just sit there and let God speak to you in the word. Oh, you say, I've got to quit this kind of life that I'm living. I got to be right. That's God. God in his word, making himself known to you. I ought to make my life right with God. That's God. That's God. Certain. I've got to die someday. Certainly you're going to die someday. I've got to answer at judgment. Certainly you're going to answer at the judgment. Then where's your judgment yonder? I'm sorry. He said, but then where's your judgment? Yonder at the throne where you have no mercy? Or here at the throne where you can get mercy? Now, it's your choice. That's a tree, like in the Garden of Eden, one life, one death. Put it off, for there you die. Take it now and you live. Reminds me of a son-in-law of mine that's gone on. He'd went 25 years or so thinking that he had blasphemed the Holy Ghost because a couple of so-called Christian women made some comment to him that bothered him, and he popped off something. I don't remember what it was now that he said to him. And from that time on, the devil kept telling him, Cody, you're not savable. Cody, you blasphemed. Remember what you said to them two women? You blasphemed. You blasphemed. You blasphemed. But he carried a little New Testament in his back pocket, and he read it every day. And in his heart, he wanted to serve God. Aren't you glad for a prophet that tells us when he's calling, you haven't blasphemed. You haven't gone too far. He's laying in the hospital, sick. The past local pastor, Brother Burris and myself, we went up to visit him. We're standing there talking to him, and he brought that in. I'm trying to explain to him, listen, do you want to serve God? Yeah, then you haven't blasphemed. I was telling him what Brother Branham said. For what he knew of the message, he believed it. But he didn't know what to do it because that devil's still sitting there going, see, you blaspheme. It don't matter what Brother Layton said. You blaspheme. You blaspheme. He's told him a lie for so long until he couldn't hardly get out from under it. The nurse walks in and sets one of those carafes of water on the table. And it was about where his knees was across the bed. And she set it there. And she walked out. And the pastor looked at him just out of the blue and said, you know, Cody, accepting Christ, it's just like that water sitting there in that carafe. If you're thirsty, you can take that water, drink it, and live, or you can leave it sit there and you can die. God is calling you. You said you want to serve him. You can accept it and live, or you can keep telling yourself you blaspheme, which is a lie, and you can die. The man repented right there. He lived another 3 months. And everywhere he went, everybody he met, he was talking about Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. Everybody he offended, he went and made it right. Everybody he worked with, he was a union steward. And when they had a problem, that company did not like to see Cody coming because he was what they called a rabble-rouser. He wouldn't take nothing off of nobody. But at his funeral, there was 400 of his co-workers came. And every one of them said, something happened to that man. Think about it. I did his funeral. 400 of them sitting there saying, something happened. He changed. All he wanted to do is talk about God. When he had a union problem, he went up and handled it the right way. Even the company didn't know, what's wrong with this man? 25 years, he's been a pain to us. But now, he gets it done the right way. But you see, he had 3 months, and God took him home. I don't know if you've got 3 minutes, 3 days, 3 hours, 3 months, 3 years. What about you? What's your choice tonight? Anybody want to accept the Lord tonight? Anybody that hasn't accepted him, do you want to accept him? I'm not talking about coming to church and listening to tapes and reading your Bible and clapping your hands and singing. And I'm not even talking about jumping up and down, speaking in tongues, running the aisles. All that's fine. But do you know him? Have you made a choice? I'm going to sell out and I'm going to do what I know I have to do and repent. And I'm going to turn around and I'm going to live for him. Got another choice to make tonight. How many of you are sick and need prayer? Well, we must be in good shape. We don't have any sinners in this church, and we don't have any sick people. So I'll have a good report when the pastor comes back. All right. I love you. I trust if you didn't have to repent, I trust at least I blessed your heart. And you'll think about some of these things. When it comes to choices, take it back to the Word. Brother Firm, take it back to the Word. Do what God wants you to do. I love you. God bless you.
Amen. Sure appreciate, Brother Light. Sure appreciate the Word tonight. I know that I came to church and needed encouragement, so I thought I'd share this with you. The other day, let's see, when was it? About 2 weeks ago, I just got a random message on WhatsApp, and it just said Keith, and I don't have any Keith contacts. And so it shows a man's picture, but this is what he sent me. So I don't believe that what you preached tonight was a coincidence at all. The resurrection of Jairus's daughter. So this is the quote, "Impossible melts away like a snowball on a red-hot stove when Jesus Christ speaks." Amen. And it just, the rest of that quote, it just goes on one more line and says, your scares just settle down. Amen. So I started listening to that tape and it has just blessed me. And you know, Brother Branham said, I'm not going to preach, don't get scared. Brother Branham said that she was embalmed. I mean, when you lay somebody embalmed, you know, that's faith. You know, He accepted whatever Jesus said. I only believe. And I thought that was so striking. I never caught that she had been embalmed. And he said because she was embalmed, she was a little weak when she came back to life. So I just thought that was powerful. So I thanked the man. I said, wonderful quote. Thank you. And then he sent me another quote. And then I said, thank you for the quote. Keith, I'm sorry, but I don't remember if we've ever met. If we have met in the past, do you remember where and when? And he said, Jerusalem, ? I don't know. Maybe it's an angel. it's a Tulsa number, but I've showed his pictures on here. Nobody seems to know him, but God has used the man to encourage me. So and I hope God blesses him. So maybe one day I'll meet him. So as long as he keeps sending quotes, we can get along just fine. Amen. See, sister.
Oh, he paid a debt he did not owe. Well, I owed a debt I could not pay. Well, I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace, all day long. Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. Oh, he paid a debt at Calvary. He cleansed my soul. He set me free. Well, I'm glad that Jesus did all my sins erase. I now can sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace, all day long. Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. Oh, one day he's coming back for me to live with him eternally. Won't it be glory to see him on that day? I then will sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace, all day long. Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. Oh, he paid a debt he did not owe. Well, I owed a debt I could not pay. Well, I needed someone to wash my sin away. And now I sing, oh, it's amazing grace, all day long. Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. Oh, he paid a debt at Calvary. He cleansed my soul. He set me free. I'm glad that Jesus did all my sins erase. I now can sing amazing, amazing grace, all day long. Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. Oh, one day he's coming back for me to live with him eternally. Won't it be glory to see him on that day? I then will sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace, all day long. Christ Jesus paid a price that I could never pay. Troubled sea, ever there's a wind in my sail. Oh, but I have a friend, he watches over me when the breeze turns into a gale. Sun to shine again. I know the master of the wind. Sometimes I soar like an eagle to the height among the the peaks my soul can be found. An unexpected storm, it may drive me from the heights, it may bring me low, but it'll never bring me down. 'Cause I know the master of the wind, I know the maker of the rain. Let Jesus calm your storm, make your sun shine again. Well, I know the master of the way. My boat of life, it sails on a troubled sea. Ever there's a wind in my sail. Over me, when the breeze turns into a gale, I know the master of the wind, I know the maker of the rain. Let Jesus calm your storm, make the sun shine again. I know the master of the wind, I know the master of the wind, I know the maker of the rain. Let Jesus calm your storm and make the sun shine again. I know the master of the rain. Papa God, you saved me, and from my old life, let's stand and worship Him. Forgave Oh, you have cleansed and made whole. You touch my heart, you change my soul. Now I know I need you so. Oh, Papa God. Oh, you save me, and from my old life you forgave me. Oh, you have cleansed and made me whole. Well, you touch my heart, you change my soul. Now I know I need you so.
Once more.
Oh, Papa God, Lord, you save me, and from my old life you forgave me. Oh, you have cleansed and made me whole. You touch my heart, you change. It's the revealed word that was spoken by the prophet of Malachi 4. Oh, can't you see why I'm so happy? Accepted the word of the Lord. It's the revealed word that was spoken by your prophet of Malachi 4. Oh, it's the revealed word that was spoken by the prophet of Malachi.
This is 98 in your hymn book.
I am watching for the coming of that glad millennium, when our blessed Lord shall come, catch his waiting bride away. Oh, my heart is filled with rapture as I labor, watch and pray. For our Lord is coming back to earth again. Oh, yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Oh, yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. And Satan will be bound 1,000 years, he'll have no tempter then, after Jesus shall come back to earth again. Oh, Jesus coming back will be the answer to earth's sorrowing cry, for the knowledge of the Lord shall fill the earth, the sea, and sky. God shall take away all sickness, and the sufferer's tears will dry, when our Savior shall come back to earth again. Oh, yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Oh, yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Oh, Satan will be bound 1,000 years, have no tempter then, shall come back to earth again. Oh, yes, the ransomed of the Lord shall come to Zion then with joy, and in all his holy mountain nothing hurts or shall destroy. Perfect peace shall reign in every heart, and love without a Lord, after Jesus shall come back to earth again. Oh, yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Oh, yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Oh, Satan will be bound 1,000 years, he'll have no tempter then, after Jesus shall come back to earth again. Then the sin and sorrow, pain and death of this dark world shall cease, in a glorious reign with Jesus of 1,000 years of peace. All the earth is groaning, crying for that day of sweet release, for our Jesus to come back to earth again. Oh, yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Oh, yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. And Satan will be bound 1,000 years, he'll have no tempter then, after Jesus shall come back to earth again. Oh, yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Oh, yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Oh, Satan will be bound 1,000 years. He'll have no tempter then, after Jesus shall come back to earth again. Oh, yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Oh, yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Satan will be bound 1,000 years. He'll have no tempter then, after Jesus shall come back to earth again. I am my beloved, and he is mine. Oh, his banner over me is love. And I am my beloved, and he is mine. His banner over me is love. His banqueting table, his banner over me is love. He brought me to his banqueting table, his banner over me is love. His banner over me is love. And Jesus is the rock of my salvation. His banner over me is love. Yes, Jesus is the rock of my salvation. His banner over me is love. Jesus is the rock of my salvation. His banner over me is love. His banner over me is love.
Amen. You thankful for that tonight? Amen. God bless you. Brother Attila is here worshiping with us tonight. Brother, would you come and dismiss us in prayer? My brother, would you come up? And yes, please. Sure is nice to have our visiting minister here with us. His sacrifices to take the gospel around. And so just wanted him to dismiss us in a word of prayer, if he would. God bless you, my brother.
Let's just bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, it is a privilege, Lord God, to hear your voice once again, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, for anointing our brother, Lord, and speaking to the needs that we have, Lord. And may we, every one of us, make the right choice, Lord, for you, Father God, and continue with you, Lord. We thank you for this place, for every soul that is gathered in this place, Father. And I pray that everyone, Lord, will go from here strengthened in your presence, Lord God, and refilled with your Holy Spirit, Father God, and ready for your coming, Lord. Should that happen this night, Lord God, may every one of us be part with the ransom of the Lord, Father God. Grant it, Lord. Lord, we love you, Lord God. We thank you for your grace, Lord. We thank you for the message, Lord God. We thank you for sending us a prophet, Lord, to speak the truth to us, Lord God. And more than that, Lord, that you have given hearts to us, Lord, to believe it, Lord. That's all what it is, Lord. It's you. It's from you, Father God. We thank you, Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
God bless you. You can be dismissed. Greet one another in the name of the Lord. Let's sing that as we go.
I am my beloved. He is mine. His banner over me is love. Oh, I am my beloved. He is mine. His banner over me is love. in heavenly places. His banner over me is love. I'm seated with him in heavenly places. His banner over me is love. Oh, his banner over me is love. He placed my feet on a firm foundation. His banner over me is love. He placed my feet on a firm foundation. His banner over me is love. He placed my feet on a firm foundation. His banner over me is love. His banner over me is love. And now I am a new creation. His banner over me is love. And now I am a new creation. His banner over me is love. Now I am a new creation. His banner over me is love. His banner.